On occasion, I like to compare and contrast what the world thinks versus what I think versus what God thinks. Do you ever do that? Something, or sometimes a couple of those are aligned, sometimes they're all different. The topic of my message today is freedom. We'll examine the fourth fundamental belief of the Church of God, a worldwide association. The message was prompted by my reading and review of a government style in Romania in the 1990s. I'm an avid reader, and I found the lack of freedom to be astonishing there. The time period was the late 1980s and early 1990s, so certainly not ancient history, at least for most of us in the room. Some of you 90s babies, you might consider it ancient history, but just barely. I found the account of how life in Romania was very interesting, as I was a typical all-American young teenager in the 80s. I graduated in the early 90s. I got married, and my world, I think, was pretty limited. I knew some of what was going on around the world, but very little. My wife has a better memory than I do. She was rehearsing some of the things, and one Olympian defecting at that time. But in the late 80s and the 90s, there was a lot of discussion about freedom. The U.S. and Europe had certain freedoms, and many countries of the world simply did not. There were many countries, we would call them Eastern Bloc countries, that had very little freedom, and they were under, of course, communist rule. Similar to today, China, Cuba, Laos, and Vietnam are the only four countries where they're under communist rule, and maybe their freedoms are curtailed a little bit more currently. For what it's worth, freedom is being curtailed, in my opinion, in our country right now. We in the church can, I think, become complacent and simply shrug off and say we know these things must happen before the end times, and that is a true statement. But my fear for myself and my fear for you is that we will get accustomed to and we'll get calloused to the lies of the leaders around us, that we'll not realize that they are lying to us. If we're talking about certain types of freedoms, our government often controls certain liberties and certain freedoms. The truthfulness of the government is a factor in my life, and it's a factor in your life. One example, I think, is the huge bill that just passed 2 or 3 weeks ago. I assume many of you heard about it or read about it. It's called, or it was called at the time and still is called, the Inflation Reduction Act. Let me read you a synopsis. The Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 will make a historic down payment on deficit reduction to fight inflation. It will invest in domestic energy production and manufacturing and reduce carbon emissions by roughly 40% by 2030. The bill also will finally allow Medicare to negotiate the prescription drug prices and extend the expanded Affordable Care Act program for 3 more years through 2025. According to some sources, it will reduce inflation by 0.5% in the next 3 years. It's reported that inflation right now is at 9.1%. Canada, of course, is reporting inflation at 13%. I bring it up only to watch for that 0.5% increase in your spending power over the next 36 months. It may or may not be noticeable to you. That's why I bring it up. Clearly, I believe everyone in the U.S. thinks, or many people think, that our government gave this bill the name to help it pass, but it might be misleading in its title and its contents. When our government is not transparent, it can change our freedoms as we know it. The point of my message today is not to be political, but rather encourage you to have the discernment needed so that we can be truthful in our lives and also realize where our true freedoms originate. It can be easily confused. Again, my encouragement for us is to compare and contrast our thoughts, what the world thinks, and also what God thinks. Are they aligned? It's easy to think that our freedoms come from our local or our national government. Another recent event in the news that you've heard about is the FBI raid on the home of former President Trump. Of course, I think we all agree that Donald Trump's actions often bring on various situations that he finds himself in. But the raid was surprising in that, if the events being reported are true, this raid is symbolic of a time when liberties are removed and freedoms are curtailed. Again, I don't work for the FBI. I am sure that we only know a portion of the true story, but I do know that this sort of action by arms of the government should raise and could raise our eyebrows a little bit and make us pray for a different world and for the return of Jesus Christ. Feast, if you've checked the calendar or thought about it, is less than 5 weeks away. So I hope we are getting excited. Getting excited for the feast days and also getting excited for the new world that the feast portrays. I brought up earlier the early 90s in former communist countries such as Romania at the very beginning. And as we compare our freedoms today to the freedoms of people in various times in history, I think and I hope it makes us think. We, of course, can travel without restrictions here in the U.S., and it's enjoyable, it's lovely. I flew to Texas this week and returned Thursday night, no problem. I remember at the start of COVID, or at the start of the COVID lockdown, we were worried that we may not be able to cross state lines. Do you remember that, 2 or 3 years ago? It was unfounded fear, but in my head, it was a possibility. My family of three at the time had driven to Texas on a spring break, and I was working at the office, and we curtailed our work. We got out of Texas 2 or 3 days early because we were afraid that we might not be able to get home. In Romania in the 80s and the 90s, under their dictator rule, they could not leave the country. You might remember Nicolae, I have it written here on my next page, but I can't remember his last name. Nicolae Ceaușescu, he had the country locked down and nobody could leave the country at all. The leadership lived a lavish life and ate well and had heat and fruit, but normal people such as you and I could never see fresh fruit for decades. They went without heat and had limited heat, or went without hot water and they had limited heat during the winter. They were constantly afraid of being reported at every turn, at work, at home, in their apartment complexes. Again, they had limited freedoms. Again, how much do you think about your freedoms or your liberties? Again, don't get me wrong, we certainly have more freedom now than those in former Soviet era countries. But my question for you and for myself is, what is God's perspective on freedom? And how much freedom do we have? Freedom, of course, is kind of a buzzword, or maybe my liberties is heard about a lot. With the overthrow of Roe versus Wade, many Americans feel that their liberties are being taken away. Their freedoms are being stifled. What are your thoughts? Again, there might be three perspectives: ours, maybe God's, maybe the world's. I want mine to be aligned with God's. To do that, we of course need to read in the Bible and get God's perspective so that we can align ourselves with it. When talking about freedom, I think we need to do three things. One, we need to see if it's something that God wants us to have. Secondly, we'll define freedom, determine a definition of it, and make sure that the world and today's vernacular has not changed the meaning of the word, or perhaps changed our perception of a liberty or our perception of freedom. And lastly, today, we'll list our freedoms. We must see and we will list certain freedoms that God wants for us and has promised us to be able to be able to enjoy and has in store for us. So let's turn to our Bibles and read Romans 8 and verse 21 to start today. Romans 8 and verse 21. We see that God's goal has liberty included. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So interesting that Paul states it this way, the bondage of corruption. I just read an interesting news bite this morning. It said the people of the United States are tired of being lied to by their government. I feel like I'm being lied to by my government sometimes and by governments around the world. This week, our government told us that illegal migrants are not walking across our borders. It was by the U.S. White House press secretary. I happen to know that is not true, as a buddy of mine living in Arizona recently had a gallon of water stolen from his car by a guy walking across the border. He knew he was a migrant as he ended up giving him a ride into town and was able to talk to him for a bit. I'm sharing you today some of these news stories and some of this information to make us yearn and to look forward to a new government coming to earth. Again, the feast is just 5 weeks away and it pictures that. I look forward to a time when a government doesn't lie and have people that oppose their leadership not thrown out of high-rise buildings. You probably read in the news this week. It happened this last week. The guy was a critic of the sitting leader of Russia, and he was in a hospital in Moscow, and he was found on the sidewalk 17 stories down. The government said he jumped to his death and committed suicide. It came up that he was beaten before he, quote, fell, unquote. Unfortunately, it's a string of mysterious falls from high-rise buildings by people that oppose this particular leader. Again, according to Romans 8 and verse 1, corruption is nothing new. I feel I'm experiencing some bondage of corruption in my life. Let's keep digging a little bit and see if God wants his people to have liberty and have freedom. Let's turn over to Luke 4 and verse 18, if you would. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. New King James reads, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed." I think it's starting to become clear that God has in mind that we are not oppressed and that we have certain liberties and certain freedom. Let's turn to one more scripture before we leave this point. Galatians 5 and verse 1. I'll read it to you. It's a short verse. Galatians 5 and verse 1, heading in my Bible says, Christian liberty. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So I think we can all agree that freedom and liberty is certainly a goal that God has in mind for us. It also appears that there's more to the subject than what first meets the eye, perhaps. There are some required actions or recommendations so that we can avoid, quote, the yoke of bondage. The whole basis that he gave us the ability to make decisions, or as the Bible calls it, made us free moral agents, leads us to believe that he wants us to have freedom. The answer to question number one, does God want us to have freedoms and liberty? We can say yes. So let's move on and let's define freedom. I think John 8 and verse 32, if you don't mind, we will read that in a minute or so. You can turn to John 8 and verse 32. When defining freedom, we will discover an interesting compare and contrast moment. I think society around us thinks that freedom or liberty is the ability to do whatever we want whenever we want to do it. In other words, my actions are totally up to me. If I have freedom, nobody tells me what to do. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree? Some of you in this room live at home. I'm sure some days you would like to have a little bit more autonomy, maybe a little bit more freedom. Maybe freedom so that you can do whatever you want at any time you wish. You're probably smart enough and old enough to know that that's probably not true. I think you realize that even if you have an apartment on your own, you will still have some rules and some guidelines that will be self-appointed that you will no doubt live by. So in God's eyes, what is true freedom? It is written in one of our booklets, true freedom is not a license to do evil or act independently from God's sovereignty. Real freedom is based on living by the truth, God's revealed will. It's a mouthful, I know. We'll break it down a little bit. But let's read John 8 and verse 32. If you turn to John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Maybe that's a memory scripture for you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall bring you freedom, or shall make you free. Our church published booklet entitled The Fundamental Beliefs of the Church of God states and talks about this a bit. Let me read to you an excerpt. It refers to freedom for mankind. And I quote, "What God has purposed for man is what man longs for. Perfect liberty. Human beings have almost universally expressed a desire for what brings happiness. Freedom from sorrow, freedom from death, freedom from suffering and pain, freedom from fruitless labor, from poverty and hunger, from moral failings and sin, freedom from being ruled unjustly." And right there, in my opinion, that's the real kicker. We all want freedom from being ruled unjustly. That, in my opinion, is kind of the golden egg. I recently finished that book about the lack of freedom for 30 plus years in Romania. For years and years and years, the Romanians lived under the dictatorship of Nicolae Ceausescu. And not unlike other countries, Nicolae Ceausescu lived very well in beautiful palaces with many staff members to wait on him and, of course, a large variety of fresh fruit to dine on. Again, this was the late 80s, not that long ago. At the same time, people in the country did not have hot water. They had little heat and they had very limited food supplies. Not only a limited quantity, but also limited variety. So much that a whole generation, the teenagers in the late 80s, had never seen or experienced fresh fruit, never had seen or never eaten an apple or an orange. Millions of Romanians did not have the opportunity to have the freedom to live without being ruled unjustly. As many of you know, Tammy and I lived in Russia in the early 90s. Boris Yeltsin was the president at the time. This was several years after Perestroika and the end of the communist rule. But even then, in liberated Russia, there was a lot of unjust rulership, not to mention the repercussions, of course, of years of poor leadership. For my third wedding anniversary, Tammy and I wanted to visit Helsinki, Finland. I always wanted to go to Finland, always wanted to go to Scandinavia. I had never been to Scandinavia, and I wanted to see Finland. I had researched a ferry that sailed from Helsinki, Finland, up to Stockholm, Sweden. I wanted to get on that ferry. It was $90 a person. I could afford it. I was excited about it. I had a friend help me buy two tickets on a bus that went from St. Petersburg, which is on the Baltic, up around the Baltic. They would take me to Helsinki, Finland. For $90 a piece, I could get from where I was living at the time over to what I thought would be a great anniversary spot. Of course, before you leave town, you have to go to a neighborhood. They called it a neighborhood direksia. And you tell them, you have to tell them where you're going. You have to tell them how long you're going to be gone. You have to tell them the purpose of your trip. You have to tell them where you're staying, where you're going. And when you got to your destination, and you'd tell them when you would be returning, and also how you would get there and how you would get back. You'd have to fill in this information in your little direksia, little government office in your neighborhood. And we went there on several occasions, and I went there before we went out for our honeymoon. It's kind of a strange concept, but we did it several times when we lived there. But we had all of our paperwork. We were so excited. We were excited to celebrate our anniversary in a new country. We were going to meet up with a church member. He lived in Lapland at the time. He was coming down from northern Sweden down into Helsinki to meet us. We enjoyed a beer in a beer garden. That's a story for another day, but it was an amazing beer. Haven't been able to find that beer again. Maybe it was just the situation. Maybe it was just the hot day or whatever it was. But we were excited to get on that ferry and go from Stockholm over, or go from Helsinki over to Stockholm. About 3 hours in, we came to the border of Russia. Everybody gets off the bus. Everybody goes into a little office there at the border. And we found out, according to the Border Patrol, that I did not have the right paperwork to get out of the country. I argued in Russian, broken, poor Russian. I argued in his broken and poor English. And after arguing for over an hour, the bus driver, tired of waiting for us, came in and argued with him in really good and, best I could tell, really colorful Russian. Finally, he agreed, or before that, as we were arguing with him, he said, we didn't have the right paperwork, you can't go. He says, but, he says, if you leave us your wedding rings, that way I know that you'll come back here and pick up your wedding rings, I'll let you go through. I'm like, no way am I leaving my wedding ring with you. There is no way. After some more arguing, he says, well, he says, if you leave me your money, that way I know that you'll come back here. I'm like, look, Helsinki is not a cheap city. I need my money. There is no way I'm leaving my money because there is no way it's going to be here when I come back in a week. Anyway, long story short, the bus driver came in and argued with him in colorful Russian. I didn't know any swear words, but I'm confident that I heard some that day. And he let us go. I, at that time, certainly felt that I was being ruled unjustly. The Border Patrol demands simply were not needed, and it was a control thing only. It drove home the point to me that these were all of man's laws to control others. A power trip to get unjustly what they thought they could from others. It made me appreciate the freedoms that I grew up with. It made me yearn for the freedom that I had or used to have in the U.S. At that time, I could cross over into Canada with just my driver's license. I don't know if some of you remember that. Go to the border, show them your U.S. driver's license, and go get across the border. At that time, I had to wait for another 8 months before I got those freedoms back. Let's look forward ourselves now and see what freedoms that God has in store for us. These freedoms are still needed around the world. I think and I hope we're aware and are reading enough in the news to realize that many, many, many people suffer without the basic freedoms that we enjoy. I read in the news this morning about the fear and the lack of freedom the Ukrainians are missing around the Zaporizhzhia. That's the nuclear plant in the Ukraine. They do not have the freedom to stay in their homes and be a family. The residents around the Zaporizhzhia plant are fearful that it will be bombed with nuclear fallout and radiation being uncontained. So they're fleeing the area and they're leaving behind their family farms and they're leaving behind their family homes. Quoting from the Washington Post on August 19th, quote, it was a hard decision to make, Sarai Rozanov, age 46, said of sending his family away as they boarded a bus to Bulgaria. Says they're leaving because of the threat to the plant. They plan to travel on to Germany, he told the Washington Post, but men, the ages from 18 to 60 years old, are banned from leaving Ukraine in case they are needed for military service. So today they lack the liberty to stay in their own homes. They have lacking the liberty to stay in their places that they built on their farms and lacking the freedom to stay in their own cities. They can't stay together as it's not safe to stay in the area if the nuclear plant is compromised by the Russian or the Ukrainian fighting in the war that's going on. The fathers and husbands don't have the liberty to leave in case they're drafted into the army. Again, that's for everybody ages 18 to 60. As I look out here, there's a lot of us in that age group. Again, brethren, I hope that we're praying for them and praying for the return of Christ so that the people less fortunate than us can have basic liberties restored. Let's move on to that final point, and we'll list our freedoms. If you're taking notes, I'll give you a number of freedoms that the Bible talks about. We must see, and we will list certain freedoms that God wants us to have. He has promised us to be able to enjoy, and He has in store for us. We've talked enough about the world and the lack of freedoms around us. Let's now shift gears, shift our focus a little bit. Again, I hope we take some of this to God in our prayers and thank God for the freedoms that we have. Ask Him to help those that are lacking these basic freedoms. And also pray for God's coming soon so that suffering and the oppression of so many can be lifted. Again, with the feast coming in less than 5 weeks, let's review some freedoms that God has in mind for us. Again, the plan of God involves several freedoms. If you're taking notes, let's make a list and let it whet our appetite for the feast and the world that the feast pictures. I think we agree there's a lot of sorrow in the world around us. Many of us have gone through a lot of sorrow and a lot of loss of loved ones. And that first freedom, as in the Bible, as stated in the Bible, is the freedom from sorrow. So if you're taking notes, freedom number one is freedom from sorrow. When I read news stories about families being separated and homes having to be split up and homesteads left due to war, my heart goes out to their sorrow. It's sad. I know that many of you work lots around your house or around your farm, and to think one day you just have to leave it all. It's sad, and it's something that we can only imagine going through. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 21 and verse 4. Again, I'll give you a number of freedoms. We'll back it up with a scripture or two for each freedom. Again, God will have and wants to give us freedom from sorrow. Revelation 21 and verse 4 states that very succinctly. Revelation chapter 21. In verse 4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will no more be sorrow." What a great liberty to have. No more sadness. Where do I sign up for that? Again, there's another freedom talked about in verse 4. It says, "There shall be no more death." And that's verse 4, and you can also put in your Bible or in your notes Isaiah 25 and verse 8. So again, the second freedom is freedom from death. Let me read to you actually Isaiah 25 and verse 8. Feel free to put that in your notes. It says, "He shall swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and the rebuke of His people, and He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." In other words, let it be so. So God's purpose is to teach us right rulership and then give us authority over everything. Again, sorrow and the authority over death. Revelation 3:21 further drives that home. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne." So when God's plan of perfecting mankind is achieved, man will be given the opportunity to, one, live forever, and to rule in righteousness. With that rulership, we have the opportunity to have freedom over so much. We have the freedom over death. We will control our lives and not fear death. This last week, I was helping Mrs. Colleen Winter clear out Mr. Adams' house after his recent death. Mrs. Colleen Winter was strong and was handling it well, but I could tell there was sorrow. Death brings much sorrow. We got one of Mr. Adams's cars sold about a week ago. It was a bit sad. The end of life is about getting rid of some different things and the stuff that you accumulate. I took a couple pictures when I was out at the farm delivering my dump trailer. One was an outside water spigot that Mr. Adams had right near the barn. It was a kind of a farmhouse style, what I call a farm spigot that comes out of the ground. He had an older blue cup right next to it, upside down on the barn, and a pair of pliers right there nearby. I could tell that it was there, and that's where Mr. Adams went to get a drink when he was working outside. It was sad to see that because I knew that he would no longer take a cup of water. There was also a sign right across the driveway, big letters. It says the 4C Ranch. It was only 4 acres and a barn, but it was something that Mr. Adams had worked for and was proud of, and that was his family. The 4Cs, of course, was Mr. Cliff Adams, Mrs. Carolyn Adams, Conan, and Colleen, Mrs. Winter. And of course, there's only 1C left, and it's sad to see that sign. I look forward to the time when death does not separate families. That's a freedom that's coming to you and I. Another freedom is freedom from suffering and pain. Clearly states in Revelation 21, verse 4, there shall be no more pain. How great would that be? I know some of you in this room suffer from daily back pain or other pain. Some of you on the webcast today suffer from aches and pains that keep you from coming to church, and some of you has kept you housebound for years. God has in mind some freedoms for you so that you can leave your house. Let's read Psalm 16 and verse 11 before we leave this point. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, I'll read it out of the New King James Version. It says, you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I can imagine that you that are suffering in pain look forward to this. I can imagine you're looking forward and can fill in your list of pleasures and liberties that you have in mind. Let's read more about this promise that God grants us the freedom, or this freedom and this blessing. We're in Psalms. Turn over just a few pages to Psalms 36, verse 8. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 8. It says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink for the river of your pleasures. I bet Sirai Rozanov in the Zaporizhia area of Ukraine would love some fullness of his family back in his house. This scripture states an abundant amount of satisfaction in the fullness of our homes. By now, Sirai's family is probably in Germany, and it's been 2 or 3 weeks since he's seen his wife and his kids. God has something totally different in mind, not only for the Ukrainians, but also for you and me and for the rest of the world. So again, that point is no more suffering, or a freedom from suffering and of pain. Another freedom says a freedom from unfulfilling and tedious work. There's something that piques my interest. Bible says, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain. I like the sound of that, not laboring in vain. Let's turn to Isaiah 65 and verse 22. Isaiah 65 and verse 22. If you think about it in your life, I think all of us can think sometimes about laboring in vain. If you're working for somebody else, yes, you might be working for a paycheck, and yes, you might be holding down your jobs, but sometimes you know, or possibly even in the hindsight, you realize that I did all that work for nothing. I clearly labored in vain. Yes, I got paid, but my project never went anywhere, or the result of my labor never benefited anybody. Isaiah 65, I'll read verses 22 and verses 23. Isaiah 65, verse 22 says, "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." In other words, they won't toil in vain. "They shall not labor in vain," verse 23 goes on and says, "nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." Again, talking about laboring in vain, I certainly have. I once worked for 364 days on a project, not every day, but regularly. I did my job, I presume, but nothing came of my efforts. At the end of my assignments, a year later, a day short of that one-year project, nothing ever came. They never utilized anything of the project that I gave them. Have you ever felt like you've labored in vain? Again, I like this idea of freedom. We're certainly pro-freedom. Again, the Ukraine and Russia is in the news, and it's also on my mind. I'll share with you one more story. Tammy and I would ride the metro in every day into work at the TV station we worked at. And I remember distinctly, it was winter time, it was January or February or December, somewhere in there. And I remember walking into the metro, and there would be certain people lined up on the outside of the metro selling different things, oftentimes fruits and vegetables and different things. Inflation at that time was 100% a month, so it was a 1,200% inflation. Everything that you bought this month was twice the price the next month. So for the pensioners and for those that are making a normal wage, they would buy things and keep it for a little while and then sell it at a profit. So there was lots of buying and selling going on. I remember walking into the metro, and on one side there was a 20-year-old guy, or somewhere in his 20s, younger guy, standing there at the metro selling a pair of woman's panties. I'm like, oh, my heart went out for him, just standing there holding the panties, waiting for somebody to buy this woman's pair of, it was new underwear, but he was standing there. I'm like, oh man, I hate that for you. I went on past, got on the metro, went to work, and I came home 4 or 5 hours later, came out of that same metro, it was Chornorizhna Metro, Black River, and we came up out of the metro, walked down the same sidewalk, heading towards our apartment, and there was that same guy, still holding that pair of woman's underwear. And I thought to myself, ah, that is toiling in vain. It drove the point home that we've got to have freedom from unfulfilling and tedious toil. Again, I know that sometimes we feel like we have tedious and unfulfilling toil, but in my opinion, seeing that guy holding the woman's pair of underwear for 4 or 5 hours trying to sell it at a profit was tedious and unfulfilling for certain. Another freedom is freedom from poverty and hunger. Again, it goes along with the same vein. Much of the world is hungry and thirsty for plentiful goods and plentiful water and food. Again, I don't think this applies to many of us in this part of the world, but it certainly applies to other parts of the world. God gives us an invitation. In fact, my Bible states above Isaiah 55 and verse 1, I'll read it to you. The Bible states, and it has a heading, it says, it is an invitation to abundant life. Isaiah 55 and verse 1, I'll read it to you. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 2, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, for your wages, for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me," it says, "and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." So again, it's talking here about not only food, but other things that money can't buy. Again, I don't know that this applies to us a lot, but it certainly applies to a lot of the world. We will have a freedom from poverty and a freedom from hunger. Let's carry on. We will also have a freedom from sin and alienation from God. So the next point is freedom from sin and a freedom from alienation from God. Wouldn't it be nice not to have to worry about sinning or even having a desire to sin? It would be nice not to even have that be a possibility. That's interesting to me. Not even have a desire to do something that's not pleasing to God. When you talk about freedom, in my opinion, that is great freedom. Freedom from the possibility of sinning. Let's turn our Bibles to Micah 7 and verse 18. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. We'll actually read verses 18 and 19. Micah 7 verse 18 says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy." Verse 19, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all out our sins into the depths of the sea." Again, I like this one because that is true liberty. He will make it so that we cannot sin. Now, the freedom we'll have is the freedom from conflict and the freedom from hatred. Don't know what point we're on, but it's another freedom. Freedom from conflict and hatred. We'll back it up with Isaiah 2 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, I think says it well, and it is probably nearly a memory scripture, but a good reminder for the freedom promised. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, of course, "He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And they, of course, will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore." All the 18 to 60-year-old Ukrainians today don't have to worry about being drafted tomorrow. The people in Russia and the Ukraine and in China and in Taiwan would like this freedom right now. Micah 4 and verse 3 says, "He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke the strong nations afar off." I think China, Russia, America, England might fall into this category. We're a strong nation. Brethren, I hope it's our prayer that that freedom comes soon. There's a lot of suffering going on right now while the world waits for that freedom. But lastly, the freedom from being ruled unjustly, harshly, or unwisely. It's the last freedom we'll talk about today. Freedom from being ruled unjustly, harshly, or unwisely. Let's turn to Revelation 15 and verse 3. I think talks about this. Revelation chapter 15, we'll read verses 3 and 4. Revelation 15, verse 3 says, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been made manifest. So we must remember that God's purpose is to teach us right rulership, and then, of course, give us the authority over everything. When God's plan of perfecting mankind is achieved, man will be given the opportunity to rule in righteousness. Indeed, we shall also reign with him. That's in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. It says, we shall reign with him. Brethren, as we can see, we're going to be part of the solution. We will help and change the lack of freedom that we all suffer under. We will grant and assist with the changing of the lack of liberties that restrain the world right now from true happiness. As I conclude, let's remember when we hear society talking about their liberties being taken away, or we see parades or we see demonstrations talking about freedoms being stifled, let's examine and see if it's really true. It may be, and it may not be, the atrocity that they're proclaiming. But let us look, though, through the prism of the whole of mankind. How is it in perspective to the lack of freedom in Romania under Soviet rule? Are there even freedoms that God wants us to have? Truly, this fundamental belief that God wants us to have so many great and wonderful liberties is a truth that can be easily forgotten, or at the very least, taken for granted. Join me and look forward to the feast just 5 weeks away that pictures a time when the whole world will have freedom and enjoy liberties like never before.